Hi, welcome to my podcast, Just Jill, where I talk about all things metaphysical, spiritual, and energetic. Each episode is a short story about my life, and where I give live examples of what I've experienced in effort to teach and to also validate your own experience. I hope you enjoy. Well, it's been a while. I've been gone for a little bit. Been busy opening my meditation studio and focusing my attention there and doing a lot of work. I was in Sedona recently, and I'm planning a retreat in Sedona. So had an amazing time there, and the things that came up for me in Sedona are things that were connected to some of my earlier work, doing psychopomp work. And I actually had a client scheduled this week that was really pivotal in that psychopomp work. And so it brought all these memories up of early days. And I thought, well, this might be a good share. I should talk about this. I should talk about this story. Because I haven't really. And it's not that it's a private story. His family's talked about it and they've shared things. So I feel like it's probably appropriate for me to share this story about my early days with this client and one of the first sort of public building psychopomp things that I did. And for those of you that are unfamiliar with the term psychopomp is work that mediums do when they are assisting spirits of the deceased to cross. And there can be very conflicting ideas about what it means to cross. So I'm going to clarify that too. When I talk about crossing in quotes, I'm talking about when we leave our bodies and we are in spirit form, we have options to leave this sort of, I'm going to call it earth plane, the energy, the sort of lower energy that we are in when we're in our physical form, to leave this plane and go to what I'll refer to as the light. And so sometimes when we leave our bodies, we don't go to the light right away. We want to hang out. And there's lots of reasons why this happens. Sometimes someone takes their life and their belief system holds them back from wanting to go to the light, thinking there's going to be retribution or judgment. And it really, a lot of that has to do with our beliefs when we're living and what we see after death and how we move to that place. So doing, and that's high level stuff there. We can go into that another episode, but that's what I was doing. I was doing psychopomp work, and the client had called me because they were experiencing paranormal phenomenon in their business. And that's typically why you would call someone to do psychopomp work, because you want, in quotes, a clearing. You don't want these beings in your space anymore. You don't want this energy in your space anymore. And so call someone in to do psychopomp work. Now, the psychopomp work that I do is compassionate. So what do I mean by that? I mean that I see spirit as I would see human. They're just not in their body. And so to get to a deeper level of understanding why they're there and getting them to trust what I'm doing and why I'm how I'm there to help, and then calling in assistance to cross them. That's the nuts and bolts of it. Compassionately is that we're not just tossing them out or forcing them out of a space to and not assisting, not helping. So the work that I do is to help cross. That's psychopomp. So I get called to this business, and I do bring two other companions with me that are practice mediums. And just to have third-party validation and assistance where I may not be seeing something and they are seeing something. So we went about going through this space, kind of documenting what we were seeing. And there were two beings in this space. There was a male and a female. You could feel fire in the space, could feel struggle. I could feel the female was very young, male, was probably middle-aged, got sort of a vibe from the two of them that he was in some way keeping her there, which was interesting. And so, in this story, I mean, the story about what happened to them is fascinating. There was a fire in the building, but I'll back up even further than that. This man had taken a young woman as a bride, and on their wedding night had basically strangled her and forcibly trying to have sex with her, and she dies. He tries to conceal her death by fire and then ends up being consumed himself. And so they're just sort of in this state, you know, not crossing, and he's just kind of keeping her there. Now remember, this was a long, long time ago. Their clothing that they were wearing and sort of the idea of this young bride, it was probably around the 1850s, maybe. 1850 to 1870, just based on the clothing. Don't have any specific dates. Never really researched this. Didn't need to, because I had plenty of validation later. And that's where I'm getting to. So after we kind of went through the property, cleansed and saged, which, you know, for those of you listening, sage doesn't clear spirits. It just kind of clears the energy, residual energy of people and circumstances. And it's nice because it kind of gives you a good baseline. So spirits that are there are going to be unaffected by sage. They need to cross, right? So that's their only way to move from that space to another, outside of setting really clear intentions that they're not wanted there. That's another podcast. So I leave and I basically say, okay, I'm going to be doing a couple things here, but I'm going to leave the place live for a week, and then I'll come back to cross him because he doesn't want to go and she's not able to go and that kind of thing. So I left and I came home, and what I noticed when I came home is that he was not able, he followed me, and when I stepped out of my vehicle, he was standing alongside my property line, and he couldn't come onto my property. I thought, well, that's interesting. Well, it's good to know that my boundaries work, and so the boundaries I'd set in my house is the only way that you could come onto my property is if you were needing psychopomp, you were needing to cross, or had a desire to. He didn't. He just wanted to follow me, which is fine. And I understood very clearly in a matter of a few hours why. So he stood on the property line. I got out of my car and just kind of watched him as he glared at me and went into my house and had dinner and did all the things. I'm getting ready for bed and I'm brushing my teeth, washing my face, and come out of the bathroom, and standing full body outside of the bathroom is the young woman. And she's... this is the clearest I've seen her since I was in that business space. And she was wearing all white. She was wearing a white dress. She was very young. I wouldn't say more than 15 years old. And long hair, pale skin. And she was just standing there staring at me. And I mean, if you're not expecting someone to be standing outside of a door, it's startling, even if they're human and full, you know, physical form, which this was not. So it was startling. Oh my God. And I just told her, I said, I can't cross you yet. I'm not ready to cross you yet. I have to wait because I don't want to disrupt the business and leave him there and cause more chaos. And I have additional parameters in my house that they cannot come into my bedroom at all. So I came into my bedroom and she couldn't. So also another good validation for me. Like, well, okay, well, you obviously can't come into my bedroom space because I have those very clearly identified boundaries. And she didn't. But the next day when I left the house and I was avoiding her because I told her I can't cross you yet, she started to get very antsy. And she got in the car with me. And we were driving, and she's sitting in the passenger seat, and she's starting to lose patience. And she starts yelling at me and crying and saying, I want to cross right now. Cross me now. And I tried to explain, and she says, I've been there for so long. Please cross me. And so I did. And like that, in an instant, she was gone. It was like a flash of light and goodbye. She was gone. And she's been gone. She has not come back. And the gentleman who I check in on every once in a while is still there. How do I know all of this? How do we know that any of this is true? I could have absolutely just made this up, right? And a lot of the time, I feel like no one else sees this, so I must be making it up. However, third-party validation is a wonder. And I went back, like I said, I was to this client. I went back on that following week and told them what had happened. Told them he followed me, and she showed up, and this is what she looks like. And prior to me going into the business, they told me nothing. They just said, we have activity, and we're wondering if you can clear it. They didn't tell me who. They didn't tell me what. They did nothing. I got no information. So I'm explaining what happened and that the girl is crossed and the gentleman is still here. And I was following up, like, have you noticed any other activity? Have you seen anything? And this is when they look at each other and they say, we should probably show her the video now. And my jaw dropped. And I'm like, what video? From when? And I'm like, well, it was part of the reason we called you in. And, you know, we've caught something on our security cameras and we thought you should see it. But we didn't want to show you until after you'd been here and sort of validated what we'd seen. So I said, okay, show me this video. So they pull up their phones and they're showing me this video of a man wearing what looks like a tuxedo. I believe he was wearing a hat, if my memory serves me, like a top hat or a hat, and a young woman in front of him wearing a white gown. And they were walking, she was walking in front of him, and they were walking out of a dressing room. And I think in that moment, I had some sort of like wave of nausea and just expansion of my energy at the same time, because everything that I see and hear and feel is in my head, but it's also very real. It's also very, very real and happening. And that was my first experience with this client, and one that I don't think I will ever forget. But yeah, that woman in white insisting that she go. The man is still there from the last I checked on him, and I check on him every once in a while. And so far, he's been quiet, although I did make him a promise that I wouldn't force him to cross or push him out of that space. And when he was ready to go, he could always reach out to me.
Thank you so much for listening. As always, you can support me on Anchor or catch my other podcast, Breaking Beyond Guided Meditation, or check out my blog at findyourkey.org. Have a great day.